Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Row by Row Garden Show. We're coming at you live tonight from Hoss Tools headquarters here in Norman Park, Georgia. I'm Travis.
And I'm Greg.
And we're excited to have you with us this evening. Got a good show planned for tonight. Going to have a show and tell segment. We're going to answer some questions at the end.
Yep.
And then our main segment this week, we're going to talk about irrigation.
That's exactly right.
It's been dry around here.
It's been dry and it's been hot. I mean, for this time of the year, we've been in 90 degrees. And I talked to sister yesterday. She lives in southern Ohio and it's 90 degrees up there.
Yeah, usually when football season comes around, you start feeling a little bit of crisp in the air, but we ain't felt it yet.
Not yet. It's still holding on pretty warm, even all up in the country, so people's been able to extend that growing season just a little bit.
Yeah, I usually, the time, and you could tell usually when there's green pecans on the trees, it's usually when the temperature starts to break, but we're a little few weeks behind. I expect it any day now.
Yeah. You'll first feel it first thing in the morning, you'll feel that little cool snap and it'll just hit you and you'll say, I feel that. That's fall coming in here.
Yeah, I call it football weather.
Yeah.
Makes me want to go to the store and get a bunch of meat and put on the grill. Mm-hmm. How's the expo looking?
Expo's looking okay. We're still fighting some pretty intense white fly pressure down there. But it's looking okay.
Good. Corn's coming up
and growing and you know, believe it or not, we ain't had a rain down there, a decent rain in probably 6 weeks. So we got our drip irrigation there and it's paying off.
Yeah, I've been having to water between my four garden subplots, been having to water about every day. That given that corn I got, it's about waist high now. I believe it's going to tassel out at about 4 foot tall like yours did.
Right.
And I wonder if that has something to do with the heat.
It could have. But now you're trying to grow corn, not corn stalks.
That's right. I'd like not to have to bend over to pull the ears, but if I do, I guess I'll do what I have to do.
That's right.
And I planted some, we're going to plant some at Expo at the end of this month, but I went ahead and planted me some mixed greens.
Yep.
And they're coming up. Got to get a nice little stand of those. I may have made a boo-boo on planting some lettuce too early.
Yeah. Heat working on you, huh?
I did some lettuce transplants a few weeks ago, trying to squeeze some in rotation, and boy, they look good about 6-7 o'clock in the evening.
Yeah, but that heat works on them.
In the middle of the day, they look pitiful.
Yeah, I'm gonna hold off just a little bit on my lettuce, and I have got some kale planted here in my garden here at the house, but I'm gonna hold off another week or two before I'm gonna let this weather change up just a tad before I get into the lettuce and the collards and the mustards and all that big time.
It's hard to be patient.
It is. It sure is. I could just taste them greens right now. Yeah. We speaking of that, next week I'm going to be on a local TV channel doing the thing about the expo down there. And we've got a couple of different, talking about greens, we got a hybrid variety of collards and a new hybrid variety of mustard greens that we're trialing at the expo. So it's exciting to see how those are going to turn out.
Mm-hmm. And that's always the third week in October.
Yep.
So make your plans to come see us at the Sunbelt Expo. If you're in the area, we'll be there all 3 days. And one more thing I want to mention. I have got jambalaya okra out the wazoo.
Yeah.
And I've been picking a whole picking bucket full about every 3 days. And I got a 2-minute tip coming up next week, next Tuesday. I always come out at 10 o'clock in the morning on Tuesdays.
Uh-huh.
A new technique I've tried called the prune and whoop.
Prune and whoop.
Now, don't
spoil it for us.
I'm not gonna spoil it, but I didn't think about it until after I put together the video. A lot of people might not never heard the word whoop before.
Yep. Well, it's a common term down here in the South when we talk about whooping. That normally means taking a stick or a hand or whatever you get a hold to and putting a whooping on somebody or something.
Right, yeah. You whoop somebody with a switch.
Yeah.
Get a stick or belt, whatever you need to do.
Right. Or whoop something.
That's right. Whoop meaning the past tense of the extreme form of whip.
Right.
So if you see that and ain't never heard that word before, that's a little
whoop.
Little precursor.
My mama used whoop on me a lot.
Yeah. A lot of times there's an ugly word that follows that whoop. And so lots of things going on, things cranking up for fall. If we can just get that temperature to break. And now let's talk about our tool of the week. And actually, I've got a couple tomatoes. All right,
good deal.
So this stuff right here, it's called Bob XR. And this is an animal repellent.
Yep.
We sell two. We sell one for deer. This one's more for small animals, rabbits and squirrels. And folks, I can promise you, this right here is the best stuff out there. And it works like a charm. So I put in, about 2 weeks ago, I put in some Brussels sprouts and some cauliflower transplants. And about after the second night after I had put them out, I'd go out there in the morning and three or four of them be eating.
Boy, they ain't nothing no more depressing than that.
The next day, leaves eating off three or four more of them, and they about demolished the whole row. Thankfully, I had backups in the greenhouse, as I said. All right, when I replace these plants, I'm going to put me some of this out there. And I've used this stuff before, and it works wonderful. Now, it stinks. It doesn't smell really
yeah,
good.
You want to use this stuff early on. You don't want to use it close to harvest time because it's not something that you necessarily want to be on there when you're picking and eating it. So you want to lay off, I'd say, 2 or 3 weeks before harvest time. Now, Mother Earth News out in Kansas did a pretty in-depth study on repellents because there's a lot of them out there on the market, and there's a lot of different types out there on the market. And this one came out on top. This one has some very high reviews, and that's one reason we sell this particular brand because it has been tested, and every test that it's been in, it came out on top.
Yeah, and those ground sprays you buy, there's not a whole lot of good reviews out there and results of those work. But this you spray on the plant. You don't want to spray it on anything you're going to be harvesting soon. But things like your early transplants.
Oh, I got a hold of a bad one there.
Uh-oh. And what are you eating, man?
Boiled peanuts.
Okay. It is peanut time around here. I digress. This stuff right here works like a charm. I think it's 16 ounces to the gallon you spray.
Yep.
And it doesn't wash off in the rain. And since I sprayed it on that second planting, I had any plants lost to the rabbits. They went elsewhere.
Yep. So if you got deer, you want to get the particular one that is the deer repellent, or if you got rabbits, you
yeah,
want to
R with the rabbit on that's for the rabbits. And then the other one, I think, just says
bottom. We got both of them in two different sizes.
Good stuff right here.
Yep.
So get you some of that if you got some rabbit problems or squirrel problems or small varmint problems. And then our second tool of the week, we talked about our cover crops last week. And since then, we decided to do 1 pound packaging because we had some folks out there with some smaller gardens and didn't need 5 or 10 pounds. So we did some 1 pounds. And we brought on a new one, cool weather one, called broadleaf mustard.
Yeah, it's been around for a long time, old variety, and it does great. And one thing about these mustards as a cover crop, when you plant them out there, you want to till them in or cut them in before these mustards go to seed. You don't want to see that seed bloom, that yellow seed bloom out there. You want to cut them in right before you get to that stage. So plant them anytime now up until, well, here in zone 8, we can plant them all the way into January just about it.
That's right. And there's a lot of research out there on these. As far as cover crops go, if you've got nematodes or you got some bad fungal problems in your soil, this right here is the best thing you can do for it.
Yep, help clean that dirt up, mm-hmm. soil up a little bit.
When these things break down, they release a chemical compound called glucosinolates.
That's a big one. And say that one more time.
Glucosinolates. Mm. And those things are going to kill all those bad pathogens and pests in your soil there and do a lot for your soil health.
Yep. If you get in a tight, you can eat your mess off of them too.
That's right.
It's eating mustard. Eat mustard and nematode control of mustard.
So that's good stuff right there in 1 pound, 5 pound, and 10 pound.
Yeah, and it'll go along. Well, how many square feet will 1 pound cover?
You're only going to do 0.5 pounds per 1,000 square feet. So this will cover 2,000 square feet, 1 pound will.
Right.
So plenty right there. You can plant it with cedar or broadcast it, however you like to do it.
Yep.
All right, so check out those tools on the website. And now let's get into the meat of our show where we're going to talk a little bit about irrigation this week.
Yep.
And like we said, it's been dry around here. We've been having to irrigate a lot. And we mainly want to talk about drip irrigation because that's what we use the most. But we do overhead water a few things. Those mainly being potatoes. Sweet potatoes. Things that we don't want to get too wet.
That and short-term crops.
Yeah.
Now, I would by no means would I put drip irrigation on a cover crop.
No, no. They wouldn't put drip irrigation on a cover crop. I don't put them on those Asian mixed greens I plant, because I plant them so tight in there. I always just plant that bed on the end of my garden where I can hand water it real easily.
This new variety of mustard we're planting out in the Expo is a 35, it's a short day mustard, 35 days to maturity. I wouldn't use it on that. Right. I don't think it's worth the investment for those short-term crops.
Yeah, and like those mixed greens I planted, they're 21 days. So you there ain't really no point putting them in on that. Look, but the other fall stuff like your Brussels sprouts, your cauliflower, it's going to come in handy.
Oh, yeah.
So as far as drip irrigation goes, we did a series on our 2-minute tips where we talked about the basics of drip tape. We talked about 6 reasons why you should bury it. We even talked about how to bury it. And I just wanted to kind of go into that in a little more detail, maybe answer some questions we didn't cover on those 3 videos.
First thing, let's dig off on this right here. There's a lot of things on YouTube, and there's some of these guys that's got these pretty good sized YouTube channels up north that advocate the use of this drip tape on top of the ground.
Drives me absolutely
it
bonkers.
It does me too. Now, let me tell you something. It can be done if you just adamant you want to do that, get you some sod staples and you can do it. But that is by no means the best way to use drip tape. Drip tape was designed to go either subsurface, that means buried a little bit, or underneath a plastic mulch. This stuff is fairly light, and it can get blown around, and you got to keep it stable where it won't move around on you. Laying that stuff on top of the ground and just leaving it out there
is absolutely
a nightmare. So,
if you do a little research online, you'll see that they call it subsurface drip. You'll see it called SDI for short. Goes back to the early 90s. People been doing it for a long time, and that's the way it was supposed to be done. Now, I for the life of me, I can't pinpoint at what point in time it became acceptable to lay it on top of the soil, but there's a lot of people out there that are unaware that that's how it's supposed to be used.
Yeah. It can be aggravating if it's not used correctly. You got to do a little research on it, and by no means do we need to make it complicated, because it's not.
It's easy.
Just do a little research, find out the correct way to do it, and try to put it in that way, and you won't have no problems. Now, drip tape is one of those kind of things. When we go out there to plant our garden, we normally in a little bit of a tight on time and we want to get something done, but drip tape is going to take you a little more investment up front. Before you plant your garden, you got to put your drip tape down. But if you'll do that and try a time or two, you'll see the significant difference in the time it takes you later on, and you'll say, heck, it was worth that time investment to start with, put this drip tape down.
When you put that drip tape down in spring when you got time and it's cooler, that way when it warms up, you and I are fighting that sprinkler, moving it around in the afternoon. All you do is go turn it on, go in the house, eat supper.
Be done with it.
That's right.
So this is our 8mm drip tape. And it has, I don't know if you can see it, these little emitters there. And these emitters are spaced 12 inches apart.
And those are pre-punched. You don't have
pre-punched, you ain't got to do nothing. And if you ever used a sucker hose, you know when you use a sucker hose that you're getting more at the end of it than you are at the beginning of it. It's not consistent with sucker hoses. That's the first complaint everybody ever says about sucker hoses, and they're exactly right. These babies here was engineered to be absolutely consistent. You're going to get consistent water all the way through your system, which really makes it nice.
Yeah, and so these emitters here, the water output on these guys is 0.4 gallons a minute per 100 feet. Right. Drip tape. So if we divide that by 100, the actual output per emitter would be 0.004 gallons per minute.
Yeah, well, so let's look at this right here. So if I had 100 feet of this right here, and I let it water for, say, 100 minutes, so how much water would that be?
4 gallons.
4 gallons. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot of water, but folks, what I'm telling you is you're putting that water exactly where it needs to be, right there on the plant. So you're not wasting any water whatsoever. It takes a lot less water than you do with overhead irrigation.
And down at the Expo where we got that stuff planted, and as dry as it's been, when I was watering the other week, I think I maybe only had to run it maybe 30, 45 minutes, and it was plenty of water.
Nice thing about these emitters, you always want to place them up. This is the way it sits in the soil. So your emitters place up, and when you turn it on, after you get your drip tape laid, and you let these emitters kind of puddle up, it automatically gives you your spacing. You get 12-inch spacing. And I normally plant right on top or right beside an emitter there. So you don't have to take your tape measure out there or a stick and try to get everything perfect, because you can plant on those emitters.
Yeah, and I've had some people ask, they say, well, certain things need to be planted deeper than others. You plant on top of the emitters if we're direct seeding corn or something other, but what about tomatoes need to be planted deep? Well, what you end up doing is actually putting that root ball kind of underneath here, and the stem goes to the side of the emitters.
Oh, I have just planted right there to the side of it.
Yeah. Either way, it's going to get the water out there. Another question we get asked a lot is, how does this do in freezing temperatures? Well, actually, what's so good about the drip tape is, when you turn it off, this thing's going to completely empty and flatten. Yep. And so there ain't no water in there to freeze or bust.
Nope.
And if you got it underneath the ground, it's insulated anyway, and you ain't going to have any problems with that. So you can use this if you have an occasional freeze, and you got nothing to worry about there.
Yep.
So we talked about the output. We talked, this is the 8 mil tape, like we said. We do carry a 15 mil tape, which is twice as thick as this.
Yep.
The 8 mil tape is for your annuals in your vegetable garden. The 15 mil tape is better intended for perennial stuff that are going to stay in the same place.
5 years or so. It's got a lifespan of 5 years or maybe a little bit better. And there's a few people we have out there that want to buy the 15 mil tape to plant vegetables on because they're overachievers. We have a few overachievers out there. But you're really making a mistake by doing that. This 8 mil is ideal for planting your annuals and your vegetables on. The only reason I would use 15 mil tape is for asparagus, blackberries, blueberries, anything that's a perennial. And I was going to put that tape in place and leave it for 5 or 6 years. Go to the 15 mil. Otherwise, this 8 mil is half cost, and it's the way to go.
And I've got up to 4 or 5 uses out of one piece of tape before. It ain't like the soaker hoses break down. This stuff doesn't really break down and works really good. So let's talk about the kind of the basic system setup. So at the beginning of every drip irrigation system, you're going to have, we call this our filter regulator combo. Now, most companies are going to give you this pieced out, and you're going to have to get some Teflon tape and put it together. You said, we go ahead and put it together for you. So your water hose hooks in right here, standard water hose. Then you've got your filter here, and this thing's going to catch any hard minerals. You pull this baby out right here and wash it off. Don't want to use a pressure washer on this, just regular water hose. Rinse that off. And then right below that filter, we've got our pressure regulator.
You've got to have a pressure regulator on this drip tape.
So if your pressure's too high, what it's going to do is it's going to blow out the holes on that tape.
Yep.
So you got to take it down to 12 PSI right here. Now this thing can handle a pressure of up to 90 PSI.
Ooh, that's a lot of pressure.
So you can come in pretty hot into this thing, and it's going to take it down to 12.
The average well or water system is set up on about 40, average about 45 pounds. That shouldn't be an issue.
And then coming off there is where you start your main line. Now you can do this two different ways. Some people put this at the end of their garden and just run it this way. We like to put it in the middle of our garden and tee it off and have main line going this way and main line going this way. So there's your main line here. Have one piece going that way, one piece going that way.
And I try to put it in the middle of my rows. If I got 8 rows, I go 4 over and put it in the middle. I have 4 on one side and 4 on the other side or whatever.
And your main line is your what you called your supply line. You'll see it sometimes called feeder line. And this is what's going to feed your individual rows. So think of this as like the tree trunk. And you're going to have your branches coming off there. And I got this one. So here's a piece of main line, and we got the drip tape coming off there. This piece that connects the two is called a drip tape row start.
Mm-hmm.
So the way this works, it's got a little nut on there, and that tape, that one's been on there a while, that tape just slides over there, over that barb, and you just tighten it down right there, and you're good to go.
Now, this trunk line, is most of that we said, has got some type of indicator line on it right there, and I use this indicator line to punch all my holes in. So I keep that, I use that as my lateral,
kind of guide.
Guide to punch all the holes in, that way it keeps straight. If you don't, it can get twisted on you a little bit.
And you got you. This thing right here, we call it a punch and cutter tool. It's got one piece right there that's going to cut the main line for you. So if you need to trim it off, boom.
Boom.
Like that. and then you need to punch a hole in it to put a row start in it. You line it up on that blue line right there, just like that, and there's your hole.
Yeah, we got a yellow one we sell too.
And then you just put your, you can hear it pop when it goes in there. Put your row start in there, and your main line, I mean, your drip tape comes off of there.
What if you did an uh-oh, and you put it in the wrong spot?
So if I messed up, and I put me a hole in the wrong spot, or maybe from spring to fall, I had a different row spacing. These things called goof plugs. This is when you goof up.
G-O-O-F,
right. Goof. You just plug these holes in here. So you just insert that. We'll use it right here on this one. Stick that in there, and that's going to plug that hole, and you can reuse this main line over and over with them goof plugs there. So that works really good. Most gardens are square, but some people have some odder shaped gardens, and you can move.
Excuse me.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm good.
You can direct that main line differently with some elbows and stuff like that. Real simple to set up, and then on the end of the drip tape, how we seal it off. So the whole system works because this becomes pressurized. It's sealed at the end there and swells up. You want to show them how we used to tie off?
No, I don't even want to go that route. We're one of the few companies that actually sells something that works on the end. Most people is going to tell you to tie that up or crimp it over something, which is a nightmare. So we found these row ends right here that work really, really good, and very few people out there are aware of them, and we're one of the oldest companies that sell them.
So this is a simple little piece of plastic right here, and it's got a kind of a narrow end and a wide end. You put it in that narrow end there, and all you got to do is about fold it over two or three times. I cinch it right there, and it is sealed. It ain't going nowhere.
And if you do need to flush the end out, you just undo that real quick, and you can flush the end
out. Yeah, you can push that back out of there, and you're good to go.
Now, let's talk about how much water you need and how much tape you can run.
So, first thing you got to do is figure up your flow rate. You got looking like Texas Roadhouse in here with peanut holes all over the floor. Mm-hmm. So, you need to figure out your flow rate, and to do that, get you a 5-gallon bucket.
Yep.
And time how long it takes you to fill it up.
That way you're going to know how much water you're pumping out per minute.
Right. So if it takes you a minute to fill that bucket up, you're putting out 5 gallons a minute.
Then you can figure out how much drip tape you can run at one time.
That's right.
So I believe you can run 1,250 feet off of 4 gallons, or is it 5 gallons?
Five. So okay. If you've got 5 gallons a minute, which is pretty average,
Yep. You
can run 1,250 feet at one time.
That's right.
And
now, don't let this get complicated to you. If you have any questions or any concerns, if you'll call us, email us, whatever, we'll be glad to walk through this with you and help you figure out how to lay off your garden for drip irrigation. It can be overwhelming. It can be a little intimidating, but we're here to help you. And once you understand the basics of it, it gets pretty simple.
Yeah, don't overthink it. And that kit's got everything you need. Once you get that kit, you can visualize it better in your mind. It's not scary or terrifying at all once you lay it all out. Let's answer a few of these frequently asked questions we have on drip tape real quick. We talked about that, the emitter's already punched in the tape. This is another one we get. So if the emitters are only 12 inches apart, what happens if I'm planting something that is spaced closer than 12 inches?
They'll bleed together. So what you do is just leave the tape on a little bit longer, and what's going to happen is those little emitters are going to puddle out, and those are going to come together.
Like corn, beans, anything like that. It puts out plenty of water to cover those gaps. Right.
You may have to water it, just, you know, leave it running a little bit longer to get that bleed over. And when your corn and stuff gets, you know, big, it's going to take longer to water anyhow because your plants are going to demand more water.
Once those plants get up, those roots will start branching out. And they can get that water anyhow. When I direct seed something on top of the tape, I always let it run a good little while to soak that bed to get good germination. The other question we get, another one, is how long do we need to run it?
Well, that can be dependent upon where you at on your plant stage and what you got planted there. So let's just take for granted, like we are down at Expo now, we just planted transplants and we plant them directly on top of those emitters. you know, 15 to 20 minutes is enough. And you can actually visually see how much water you get down there. So it's not going to take very long. All right. So let's take another example. And let's say we got corn and it's at the silking stage.
Like my corn's close to it.
Yeah. So you may want to run that all night because that plant's going to demand a lot more water at that stage. So you may want to let that run all night or for 6 or 7 hours to get enough water out there.
Or I got onions that are putting on tops and I'm trying to get plenty of top for that bulbing stage. Let it run all night.
Yeah. There's a variance in there and you just going to have to play that by ear. See where you're at about
how... You can go out there, though, and you can tell. You can tell when the dirt's wet or if it's not. And you can tell if them plants are soaking it up or you're good. It's pretty easy to know whether you need to water or not.
Yeah, you get to feel that pretty quick.
The other question we get, can you use it in a gravity-fed system?
Yes and no.
So, if you have a gravity-fed system, you can use it with drip. But you got to get it about 35, 40 feet off the ground.
You can do it, but it's not, what's what the word here is, it's not feasible.
Yeah, that's pretty high off the ground to have a tank.
Yeah.
But it's got to be, there's a formula online, I can't remember what the exact numbers are, but you got to get it about 30 or 40 feet off the ground before you get that pressure that drip system is
going to need. Yeah, I tell people you got to have a minimum of around 20 pounds to make this thing work.
How long does it last? We talked about that. The 8 mil, you can get, I'd say, 3 or 4 or 5 sometimes uses out of it before it needs replacing. as far as how do we remove it, we had a lot of questions on that before. We did a YouTube video on that. You just pull it right up. Roots come up, everything and all.
What I have done before is I have took it and pulled it up and pulled to the side. Tilled my garden, put new compost out there, and just pulled it back over there.
Leave it hooked up.
Leave it hooked up, pull it back in place, cover it up, and use it again. I've done that several times.
And then the one last question I do want to address, we have people asking, can they, if they're pumping from a pond or a river, can they pump into it?
No. The silt in the pond or river and everything can get in there and clog its tape up pretty good. So the general consensus on that is no. If you use an extensive pool filter, you might could get by with
doing it. Like a swimming pool?
They call it a sand filter. A swimming pool filter, something like that, will help filter it out and may work somewhat. There's some guys that do that around here with more of the complex, bigger filters. But for the average person, I don't know that it'd be worthwhile.
All right.
It's designed to be run out of a well with clean water.
Hopefully that answered everybody's questions on drip tape. I'm sure there's still some more out there, and if they are, put them in the comments, and we'll get to them next week or answer them there in the comments. We do have one question we want to answer this week, and for the question we answer this week, we're going to send them a copy of this nice little book here, The Beginner Guide to Heirloom Vegetables. It's about a lot of different heirloom varieties, from anything from cauliflower to beans and beets and all that good stuff. And if we answer your question on the show, send us your email, send us your address to this email, and we'll get that out to you. And we always like to give away something nice for the questions we get, so always put your questions in the comments there. And our one question this week is from Tim Jones, and he's talking about seeding clover as a cover crop, and wants to know how deep would you run a disc here? He's talking about one behind a tractor over it. And he's contrasting that, how good a germination would he get versus if he didn't cover it at all. You got any recommendations?
Yeah, I wouldn't use a hare behind a tractor. I'd rather use a rake or something similar. A hare is going to bear that cover too deep. You don't want to go over about a half inch with this clover seed. You want full soil contact, so you do want it under the dirt there, under the soil, but you don't want it very deep. And the reason is it's a small seed. And anytime you got a small seed, you want to plant it shallow. You do want to plant it deep enough so that you continue to get moisture on that seed, and it holds the moisture, but you want full soil contact, so you want it buried so the soil is touching that seed all the way around, ideally up to a half inch. And that's going to be really hard to do with a tractor hare. Now, with a wheel hoe in the hare, you could do it. If it was me, I would hare my soil, and then I would plant my clover, and then I would take something like a landscape rake or anything like that, and then rake it in.
Yeah, just go with a rake. Just to cover it is enough.
Yep.
Don't want to get it too deep.
Same thing with mustard. Any of these small seeds, the same strategy.
Yeah. Just a light layer of soil on top is going to be all you need. All right. So thank you, Tim, for that question. Send us your address and we'll get that out to you. And that's going to do it for tonight's show. Hope you enjoyed it. And we will see you guys next week.
Take care.